Now, how many people have difficulty confronting other people? Can we try that again? How many people have difficulty? I can tell by looking at you, so you can't hide. The predator walking down the mall will pick you out. It's called body language. So, could I have an honest admission? How many people have difficulty confronting? 1, 2, 3, 4. Confronting other people.
I'm halfway.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, you have it. I would say half the nation have difficulty confronting others. And because you do, you have all manner of emotional, mental, pathological disorders that could be cured just by learning to speak up. And so you're sitting here today, coming from this mass of confusion, where wrong is right, right is wrong, and the great majority of people are justified in whatever way their life, they're justified by Christianity, they're justified by Judaism. Everybody's got their own religion, specially tailored to their particular faults that makes them feel better about being worse. And you've got doctors and psychiatrists who are not making people any better. They're making them worse. They're helping them to live a little longer, become wronger, and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. They're not dependent upon the God that created them. They're dependent upon the political system that's recreated them in the image. See that? And so I say to you, having just given you just a very quick tour, that you have to become more than little weenies. See? You've got to get some cojones. And you've got to start somewhere. How about standing up to your wife? Well, how about dealing with your husband without hating him first? Remember my new little slogan, if you don't dance, they can't advance. Because they win by you losing, and you can win by not losing. In other words, when people intimidate you, they're testing you for virtue. And it's painful, because you're going to get punished. You're going to get some kind of deprivation. You're going to lose a job, or you will lose your wife, or will lose something. You're going to lose your happiness and the peace you promised yourself you'd have when you were a little boy or a little girl. So you think when you start to get upset, you're wrong. And you confuse the wrong with being wrong. You're right about what you see, but wrong about the way you react. And you confuse the two. Therefore, when you were a little boy, little girl, and the authorities talked to you like you were a dog, they were the authority and they were supposed to correct you. What they were doing is correcting your right and turning you into a wrong. And either rewarding you for it or not being pleased enough with your subservience. In other words, have you ever been with people who, the more you do for them, that you can't do anything right? Any questions? Yes.
What are the chances for survival with three women in a household? No family.
You mean to say you're one of the women?
I'm one of the women.
Well, I don't know. It just seems to me like you've heard you're the chief cook and bottle washer. You're the one that affected the daughter, and she became sick from your...
I realize that.
You know that, don't you?
Right.
You've always been an enabler.
But let's go ahead.
I know, but you're the chief. You're the oldest member of that family, and it's trickled out. The family sickness has trickled down from you. Your daughter had cancer, and your granddaughter has also been enabled by her mother, and she got broken, and I've been working with her. Please God, I hope she's better. I know your daughter's better, thank God. And she needs to be stronger than she is. She still has a little arrogance in her. I see that, a little pride, and she's willing to be corrected, which is good. But you need to look at your own self.
You've got
to look at your own appeasing, wanting peace, and producing weaklings in your own image. You see what I mean? And you have a lot of frustration. And I don't know about your husband, because you never speak much about him. But I don't know what role you play, but I suspect an appeaser. peace, always peace, always looking. And your whole life you've been looking for one religion after another, looking for God, looking for something good, looking for a loving God to save you. And you won't be able to find a loving God to save you, because the God that you're looking for, if you really find him, is not very pleased with you. And the first thing you're going to see is have a lot of pain. And you've been running from that pain all your life. That's what you keep saying, this is what you're doing. No, no. You're actually saying no to God. All the shaking is simply saying no, no. That's what it really is, a no. It's a compulsive no. You're caught up in that no. That shaking is a no. And you're saying no to your conscience. You just want to be a good person. You want to be loved. You seek it from others. You seek it in... I remember over the years, ever since I've known you, you've always been seeking this and this religion and that religion and this. And it isn't there. It is only in the stillness where you'll find it. And in your time of life, it's going to be very painful. But you're going to have to bear it. Because hell is painful too.